Close your eyes for a second and imagine the Italian countryside. Flowing hills, the aromas of fresh bread being baked and wine being poured. Each wine unique to the farm. Each farm unique to the region. Generations of family legacy poured into each glass and enjoyed with the people you love most. Okay, got it? Now, wouldn't it be nice if that once-in-a-lifetime wine tour of the regions of Italy could be delivered to your door? To even attempt pulling that off, you'd need to know the right people to talk to. You'd have to earn the trust of families making the wine to create a curated supply of exclusive, hard-to-find family wines before you could aggregate them and make them available for sale. You'd have to find a way to get customers and then match customers to your supply of great wine and amplify the stories of those customers and winemaking families to make it all a sustainable business. What does wine have to do with out-of-home advertising? Well, everything. Because it's as much about wine as it is about simplifying access to a curated supply of hard-to-find assets. Just like brands who want to use the real world as the ultimate canvas that it is. So what can we learn about sharing great wine and building great brands? We're about to find out from Vindiamo CEO Brendan Paparriello. Brendan, thanks so much for being here. Welcome to Out of Home Insider, the first podcast for media and marketing executives that connects how offline attention drives conversion. My name is Tim Rowe, and for the past 3 years, I've been interviewing guests about their unique insights, bridging this misunderstood and undervalued opportunity for brands to create alchemy in the real world. Today's guest is Brendan Paparriello. Brendan is the CEO and co-founder of Vindiamo.co, an online marketplace that connects small batch Italian winemakers with American wine lovers. A startup launched during pandemic lockdowns, learn about the challenges in aggregating remote village vineyards with global logistics and supply chains to deliver an out-of-the-box experience in a box on your doorstep, and learn about how those same challenges and opportunities exist for and in out-of-home advertising today. And that's the big idea I'd like you to consider during today's conversation. How can we learn from other industries with similar challenges? Is it by finding the people who value your story most, or is it by creating massive distribution because you know that distribution enables revenue growth? Or maybe it's something else entirely. But the reason we have these conversations is the same reason brands choose out-of-home advertising and offline media, to break out of the echo chamber. So without further ado, let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Out of Home Insider Show, a podcast like no other, hosted by the one and only Tim Rowe. Get ready to have some knowledge dropped on you and to be entertained, because nothing's more valuable than food for your brain. So sit back, relax, we're about to dive in as the best industry podcast is about to begin.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having us, Tim. We're really excited to join the pod. We love your pod and can't wait to kind of tell our story, and we appreciate the platform.
Absolutely. I didn't think we'd ever be having a conversation about wine from Italy on a podcast originally designed to be out of home focused. But as soon as we connected and started to have the conversation, I'm sitting here scribbling notes and thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this is just like what we're trying to do for out of home, but with a obviously beautiful story and wine attached to it. I wonder if we can have a conversation about what elements have led to Vindiamo becoming the brand that it is. But maybe a good place to start is with the origin story and how did the idea come to be?
Yeah, it's I feel like with a lot of recent startups, it's a similar story for a little bit, right? Like, so this was a COVID idea, I guess we call it. You know, okay. It was that March, April, 2020, when everything kind of changed. So I was working in an industry for a fairly large wine and spirits distributor, selling to restaurants and kind of on-premise establishments within Pennsylvania. And obviously that whole world shut down, right? So you couldn't go to restaurants and eat. No one was ordering wine at restaurants. You know, a lot of states tried to do takeout cocktails, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, you could get like the adult slushy in a cup to go with your burger.
Yeah. So there was a lot of like cool innovations that came from that. But for me, like the industry just shut down. And I think I always had, you know, an entrepreneurial mindset. You know, I had a added a second major in college that was entrepreneurship, you know, really just to add a second major though. I just wanted to be able to say, you know, there was this second major I had. It was easy to add on, but I think I always had a love for entrepreneurship, and I don't necessarily think I fit into kind of like the larger corporate structure, and really always wanted to do my own thing. So it was really perfect timing. I was really lucky to have a really close family friend in my business partner, Carmen Berardi, who had been involved in kind of the importing of Italian wines for a while, just as like a side gig. And he had great connections in Italy, which is incredibly important and kind of gives us a, you know, a much faster route to kind of launch, especially when you couldn't necessarily just jump over to Italy and, you know, meet with producers and taste wines.
Oh, right. We're still locked down.
Yeah, we're still locked down. And Italy obviously had some, you know, incredible challenges too, and seemed to be hit worse than a lot of other countries. So, you know, that's how we kind of got started. That, you know, Carmen and I started texting. I remember sending them texts like, hey, let's chat this week. Like, I know you have these connections. You know, I just kind of thought we can make this and turn this into something. And along the lines of that, we also had recently figured out that, there was an ability to get, a really beneficial, kind of local winery license within the state of Pennsylvania for out of state producers. And for me, that was the key. You know, we had the Italian connection, but with how strict and stringent alcohol laws are in every state, you know, we kind of had this almost loophole-esque, you know, concept that we figured out the ability to get this Italian producer a local license, you know, which allows us to...
The license in PA, that allowed you to essentially sell on behalf of the producer in Italy. And that was kind of that was the workaround that you found within the legal structure that kind of unlocked this.
Absolutely. Kind of gave us that direct consumer avenue for importing wines, which was really unique.
And had that been done, was there a template for you to follow? Because I know that there was like a 2-year wait period. You guys had to wait 2 years.
Yeah.
Obviously with the COVID lockdowns and all that being what it was, but from a licensure standpoint, from a logistics standpoint, this was not an overnight thing. This wasn't throw up a Shopify site and like get your cousin in Italy to send you some wine. This was a long road to get to where you are.
It was a really long process. And I think luckily we weren't necessarily in a total rush. Mm-hmm. We weren't like, we need to get this out overnight. We took our time. You know, we wanted to build it properly. The process of getting those licenses is long. And for us, this was the first time doing it. You know, I've done it since then, and it's a lot easier because you know what you're doing. Going back to your question, this had been done, but to a different extent. Like, we noticed a few other people in Pennsylvania had kind of got this license, but I didn't think personally they were using it to like the fullest kind of extent of the advantages. You know, I realized there was a lot
of more upside to it.
There was more upside to it, you know, it didn't seem like e-commerce was really, you know, part of the business plan for anyone else that I saw that was doing this. In addition, there was a lot of like on-premise restaurant advantages that the license kind of gave us that the, you know, other, you know, larger wine and spirits distributors didn't necessarily have. So I thought there was a little bit of untapped, you know, opportunity with the license and in a market, Pennsylvania, that, you know, kind of needs some innovation in wine and liquor sales, you know, being kind of a state run, you know, wine and spirits industry through the PLCB.
If you love great wine and great stories, then I want to invite you to check out Vinyamo.co. Brendan went ahead and hooked us all up with a special promo code. It's OOH20. You're going to get 20% off your first purchase at Vinyamo.co. Check it out. They've got all sorts of They have sampler packs. They have all of the stories about the families, where the wine is coming from. It's really a full experience. It's not just shopping for wine. It's something more than that. And I think that you'll hear that through the rest of the conversation if you haven't already gotten that out of it. But I wanted to mention that to you at this point so that didn't get away from me and I didn't forget. OOH20 at vinyamo.co is going to get you 20% off your first order. Shipping restriction to Pennsylvania, New York, Florida, D.C., and California. But if you don't live there, surely you have a client or a colleague that you can send a fine bottle to and start a conversation with today. So check that out. Vinyamo.co, promo code OOH20. Now, back to the show.
You know, all the wine spirit stores look the same. Mm-hmm. You know, they all kind of have that.
POBC is like the state governing, was it Pennsylvania Liquor
Control Board? Yeah.
Control Board. Yeah. Okay. Right. So all of the liquor stores in Pennsylvania, you can buy beer at a Walmart, at a gas station, at your grocery mm-hmm. store. But if it's wine or liquor, it has to be bought at a state run store, which is maybe yeah. similar to some other states, but just in case listeners, depending on where you're listening into from around the world, that's what that is.
I think there's like 13 or 14 states that have similar laws.
Okay.
But the majority have, you know, a bit more freedom.
So it was finding an opportunity in something that I think oftentimes too, and this is just like an early unlock, which is mm-hmm. oftentimes we can associate legalities and licensures with being restrictive. And really what you found was that there was an opportunity to use it to unlock even more value. So yeah. have there been other moments like that in building Vinyamo where you've seen something that maybe traditionally the legacy industry, if you will, has overlooked an opportunity and you're like, oh my gosh, there's a box of gold sitting right here. Have you found other opportunities like that?
Yeah. You know, I think tied into that same opportunity, the biggest issue, like we saw that, like we were kind of trying to solve as we launched this was, you know, traditionally alcohol is this three-tiered system, right? Like there's the producer, distributor, and the retailer. And there's a lot of reasons for that. With foreign wineries, I almost see it as like a four-tiered system where like it's producer, importer, distributor, retailer. And, you know, as you hit each of those levels, there's, you know, cost added. Mm-hmm. Making that, you know, end retail price higher than it needs to be. So like we wanted to find this way to connect that end retailer with the producer, you know, with none of those added third-party importer distributor fees. And to me, that was, you know, kind of the core of why we started this along with everything else we've spoken about. But to me, that was the key. And it's something that I don't think, you know, probably starting with myself, I don't think we talk about enough. I don't think we, you know, use it in our marketing enough. I don't necessarily think we, you know, portray it to our end customer enough. Like, you know, you're making a transaction with a producer. You know, there isn't this, you know, third party in the middle that's adding their 35%, you know, markup. So we really think the just kind of value of the wines that we offer is almost as high as possible. It's just incredible value, because you're working directly with the producer.
I think it's such a powerful concept of enabling connection as the marketplace, right? You're facilitating connection that otherwise would have, I don't know that we can absolutely say this, but pretty fair to say probably never would have happened because these are small farms in
yeah.
regional remote parts of Italy. Maybe talk about that. Talk about yeah. some of the just really hard to find aspects, the exclusivity. I think that's part of your story that makes it so special. Like that regional wine tour in your mind is yeah. really that is what this is.
Yeah, 100%. And, it just it makes me happy thinking about it, honestly. But I think it's my favorite, just, you know, my favorite piece of the business is that, like,
yeah,
you know, we have these currently like three families, right? So,
okay.
You know, there's the Ulisse family, the DiGiulio family, and the Broncker family in Italy, all from different regions. So the Bronckers in Veneto in a small town called Bartolino on Lake Garda, the DiGiulios in kind of an unknown region of Molise, right on the Adriatic coast, and the Ulisse is just a bit north of them in Abruzzo. And it's amazing. I mean, there are so many wineries in Italy. I think the number is, you know, upwards of like 10,000-20,000.
Wow.
And we went to Vinitaly in March, or, you know, end of March, early April, which is the largest Italian wine like convention in the world. So
that's mark your calendars for next year.
Yes.
We're going with Brendan. Maybe we should do a Vignamo tour, Vignamo Italian wine experience. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But
so
the Vinitaly conference, like, it allows you to really see how many producers there are. You know, maybe there's 30-40% of the producers, you know, at this convention.
Okay.
And that's just thousands of producers, right? Like, there's just,
it's incredible.
There's a full, you know, building dedicated to each region, in Italy. So there's 20 Italian kind of wine regions within Italy. I think of them almost as like their states.
There's almost there's a wine map.
Yeah, 100%. There's a wine map, and each region really has their, you know, they have their thing, like their grape that they produce, their style of wine. So each region is incredibly unique. And, you know, we wanted to find producers. And obviously we started with, you know, luckily, you know, having some connections to Italian families with wineries. They happen to be in kind of these lesser known areas, mm-hmm. which is why we've decided to kind of continue to target those lesser known areas and partner with, you know, families that are making, you know, less than 5,000 cases per year, or less than 10,000 cases per year, but just, you know, small production facilities, you know, focused on making great wine and that weren't selling in the US prior, right? So like, you know, giving them that, you know, extension to bring their wines into the US, showcase obviously their wines, but showcase their town, their family, their, you know, their Nana that helps them out, you know.
You were sharing a story about like the internet goes crazy for Nana.
The internet loves Nana. Yeah. So Nana is, she's the grandmother of, kind of the Broncker family in Bartolino, Veneto. And, I've met her, I guess just once in person, but, I mean, she doesn't speak English. She just kind of, you know, she's old, she's 85. Maybe 86, just kind of walks around the property. They say like she's the head taster, you know, always just tasting the Spumante Rosato, her favorite wine. And, you know, she helps out just, you know, talking with, you know, some of the people visiting for tourism. You know, that's a big part of, probably the biggest part of the business,
interesting.
Being on the lake in Northern Italy. It's a lot of tourism from other European countries, but yeah, the internet, social media, they love Nana. We love telling Nana's story. And that's kind of where it clicked into place. Like our, you know, followers or, you know, seeing what we're doing, they want to hear about, you know, the families producing the wine. Mm-hmm. And they want to see them, you know, visually. So sharing pictures and videos, which, you know, something I need to get better at is, you know, getting those pictures and stories and videos, you know, more on social or onto our email or onto our website, and just kind of showcasing them more. But it's clear that, you know, people want to hear about these families.
And that's interesting too. As you were saying, it wasn't something that I'd previously considered, that with tourism being also such a driver of business to these regions, and then obviously you know, down to the farms themselves, that really your platform is, it becomes an awareness platform for these producers that otherwise they had, how would I have learned about Nana before going to Italy without Vignamo?
Like,
and that translates very directly to out of home, not just out of home as an ad format, in that it solves awareness as a challenge, but that we're going through a lot of those same challenges. It's the small media company that's been family owned that has operated yep. regionally, right? It's these same types of challenges. What have you seen from the feedback from the families who are, you know, a part of this? What's the impact been like for them participating in this platform?
Yeah. I mean, they love having their wines in the US market. You know, we're really kind of Pennsylvania focused. We are able to ship to a couple of different states. But the vast majority of our business is within Pennsylvania. And, you know, they love having their wines in the US. It really means a lot to them. I mean, the US, when, you know, when we travel and we get outside the US, I think we understand better what other kind of countries and regions think of the US mm. as being this kind of like, you know, mecca of business and just like the, you know, the home of, you know, just ideas and marketing and, you know, big business and, you know, generating money and economy. You know, no matter what is actually happening here, that's kind of what people, you know, outside of the US seem to think of the US. So, it means a lot to them. You know, I think it means not only a lot to the families that we're partnered with, but, you know, their neighbors and their community. You know, we seem to get a lot of, Italian followers to like our Instagram.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, I'll follow them back or check out their page. And I see their, you know, they live in the town that one of our producer partners kind of has their winery. So it's cool to see, you know, them kind of latch on to what we're doing here. And just for speaking with them, I know that it gives them just, you know, a sense of pride. And, you know, we strive to be as authentic as possible in everything we do. I think, you know, especially where we're located, kind of mid-Atlantic, Northeast, there's a lot of like Italian-American things going on and, you know, a lot of popular things like The Sopranos or, you know, things like that. And we try to be sure. as authentically actually.
Growing up Gotti, know. There was a whole generation of,
yeah.
of us that yeah. had a lot of hair gel and blowouts. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. It absolutely is. It, you know, how many, yeah, all of those elements and the festivals and especially yeah. for the folks that are in New York City, I'm sure, right? Like we've got,
yeah.
shoot, we've got Little Italy. It is absolutely yeah. a big piece of the culture here in the Northeast.
Yeah. And I think there's like, you know, there's some people that kind of have that more Americanized Italian kind of marketing. And then there's that, you know, authentic kind of truly what's going on in Italy, you know, marketing. And we really want to stay on like, you know, this is, you know, true authentic Italian
authenticity. Yeah.
You know, this is what's actually happening at the winery. This is what, you know, their cuisine is like. It's not always, you know, chicken Parmesan as much as I love chicken parm, and chicken piccata is my favorite, but like it's different over there. And we try to, and I think people understand that when they travel there, right. Which has been like kind of going back to what you said, like, there's this whole tourism connection that we haven't totally figured out yet, but like we've been able to meet people here in Philly who are traveling to Italy and actually set mm-hmm. them up for, you know, tours at the winery.
Oh, cool.
And prior to us having this business, they wouldn't necessarily have a way to purchase the wine. You can't always just ship wine from Italy to US. If you can, it's super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of making a connection to that post Italy trip, like purchase conversion here in the States is something that we haven't totally figured out, but it's definitely in like the long-term plan.
Talk about the product specifically for a few minutes. Cause I'm sure that
yeah.
this audience is full of wine drinkers who, at this point have probably gone to the website and are filling themselves in, maybe filling up a shopping cart already. But yeah. what is the product itself? What do you get as a customer?
Yeah. So, we've got a portfolio of about 21 wines currently, split between the three regions, like four wines from Abruzzo. In Abruzzo, we have, you know, some Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. So very popular kind of, you know, dark red, bold, you know, Italian red wine
mm-hmm.
that, I find that kind of the older generation loves, like people's grandparents were drinking Montepulciano d'Abruzzo.
Cool.
So we've got a couple of really cool, just kind of classic Montepulciano d'Abruzzos. From the south in Belize, like I mentioned earlier, it's totally unknown region. It's the newest Italian region. They broke off from Abruzzo in 1976. They're disrespected. No one recognizes them. Even in Italy, they're like
the underdog.
Belize, the underdog. And they've got some really cool organic wines. I think we've got like 8 or 9 wines from them, but all organic farming. You know, I think they've got 100 hectares of land. They keep 20 just for like, you know, vegetables that they actually provide to like just their local community restaurants and whatnot. But they've got some really unique grapes like Tintilia. You know, it's a grape that's only grown in Molise. You won't find it anywhere else.
Oh, wow.
It's got a little bit of like a Spanish connection. But I show that to like, you know, super wine educated, like Psalms here in Philly and New York. And most people haven't tasted it before.
Wow.
They've never had the grape. They've never heard of the grape. So I love having like something kind of new and different, unique. And then we get up in the north, to the Bronker family in Bartolino. You know, they've got some really like just classic, solid, great wines. You know, it's not like they're not organic, they're not natural. To me, they're just like classic Italian wines. You know, it's the home of Pinot Grigio, not the most exciting wine, but just really solid, great price. You know, they've got some like Amarone style reds, some really light chillable reds, and some super aromatic classic like Italian whites. So we've got a good variety. And kind of going back to like choosing these producers in these smaller towns, we've got some grapes that people aren't super familiar with, and that's what we like. You know, eventually we'll have Brunello di Montalcinos and Barolos and Chiantis, you know, probably a necessity to have, right? But we want our bread and butter to be these kind of different, more unique grapes and introducing them to the consumers here.
I so resonate with that. I recently launched a directory, a network of these hard-to-find, exclusive, smaller media players. It's called triadscout.com. There's my shameless use of the platform to plug my own thing. You can check out triadscout.com if you're looking for media companies that sound a lot like that, which I think is just so relevant. You talked about it's three families from three regions, but so much variety within just that combination. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot that you can do when you know the right places to go and what to look for and where the holes in the market are. How cool of a feeling must that be when you're introducing wine to people who that's their entire life and they are surprised by something that you introduced to them? That must be a cool feeling.
Yeah, I did it yesterday, and I loved it. It's a great feeling.
It's a mic drop moment.
It like, especially at some of the more higher end, like, you know, really swanky places, it gives us just almost an in to get in the door of like, hey, we got something like, you know, really cool, really unique. You know, even if you guys aren't interested, I just want you to taste it. And it just kind of starts off that relationship. So, you know, I didn't, until we had it in our hand here in the States, like I didn't really know much about the grape or, you know, I didn't know that was necessarily going to be the case, but the wine's fantastic and it's such a good story.
It's incredible. It is a great story. I'm so grateful that you gave us an opportunity to share in some of that here. If folks want to get in touch, if they want to learn more about the company, the product, they want to get some wine themselves, give them the lat long. That's what we use for directional here in the world of offline, out of home advertising. How do folks get in touch?
Yeah, so we have our website's www.viniamo.co.
Make sure to link to that.
Our Instagram, you know, is the same. It's viniamo.co. You know, when we're building that website, you know, .com's not always available. So we love having the .co. And yeah, we you know, I would imagine a lot of kind of your listeners are outside of where we can ship. You know, we're hoping to expand that in the near future, but currently we can ship wines to, you know, Pennsylvania, obviously New York, Washington, DC, Florida, and California. And hoping to kind of expand on that in the near future.
Well, and you know what?
The Philly area, we have a couple shops.
Brendan, yeah. Just what I was going to mention in that, here's my selfish ask. Maybe this is a way to start building the megazord that is vinyamo.co.co. Maybe give us the official Italian wine tour map for that global audience that maybe can't buy and have the wine shipped to their door. Tell us where to go.
Yeah, I would say you got to go to Lake Garda.
Okay.
When I think of Italy, I think a lot of like Lake Como gets a ton of attention. Really expensive. I would say Lake Garda, just kind of, you know, bigger lake, more places to stay, less American tourists, a little bit more kind of German, Austrian tourism, but just unbelievable views. Amazing place, not far from Milan or Venice. I think Verona is an unbelievable city. So I would kind of go Lake Garda, just shoot right down to Verona. It's kind of like a mini Florence. Gives you like a really good small town feel. After I left Verona, I was like, I should just move here. It was unbelievable. Mm. So I think like the north in general is a bit like less visited. The south, having Rome, I think just has a lot of people kind of hanging down Tuscany and south in general. Tuscany's, you know, you could call it like the goat of like American Italian tourism. It just seems to be where everyone goes, you know, is unbelievable wines, you know, really scenic. Tuscany's amazing. But I think the north's a bit untapped. I think like the Piemonte, kind of on the, you know, western side of, or northwestern side of Italy, and that like Veneto, you know, Friuli, northeast is just unbelievable. So I think the north in like spring, fall, can't beat it. Great wines, great scenery. The whole country is amazing. It's just like you need a couple years to just bop around the whole country. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing. Amazing. Thank you for sharing the story of not only the families, but of the brand and of the company. Brendan, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Tim. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And if you found this to be helpful, please share it with somebody who could benefit. As always, make sure to smash that subscribe button and leave the podcast a review wherever you're listening. That's how you help us grow. See y'all next time. Take a lifetime to know just who you are. Quarter century, I finally came to my senses. I finally got my hand up on the tinted Benz, kid. I see the world clear through my tinted lenses. With the dream and the drive, the possibilities endless. Now print that, send this all the way to Tokyo. Take a trip down south, down to Mexico. Next stop, Shanghai, the world-class trade show. First class all the way, cause that's how we roll. Yeah, call us the rockstar businessman. Rockin' shows, we handle business, man. We got our own future in the palm of our hands, cause divided we fall and together we stand.